All right. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 99%. I am Jesse Vondracek, and I have Marilyn with me.
Hey, guys.
I also have Elliot with me.
Hello, everybody.
And today we are going to talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about kind of overall nutrition, and we're going to try and keep it to more like day-to-day stuff and save race day nutrition or like serious training day nutrition for another day. But we're going to talk a lot about the food you eat, and we're going to do it now because, you know, we're all kind of getting through the holidays and getting ready for a new year. And it's a good time to kind of start paying attention to what we're putting in our body and why we're putting it there. So to get things rolling, we are going to all give an example of our absolutely favorite pre-workout meal. And this would be kind of like you roll out of bed, you've got to meet Marilyn and Elliot for a bike ride or run or swim in 30 minutes. And you're like, okay, I've got to shovel something in my face because I know I'm going to need it. What am I going to put there? Marilyn, go.
I'm up first. Oh my God. Okay. Well,
Pressure's on.
I will say, I'll add to that, it depends which of those activities I was doing. So obviously, if I'm bicycle riding or running, they would be pretty different. Or swimming, it would be different as well. However, I'm not like someone who can jump up out of bed and cram in a bunch of food. I definitely need like time to warm into the day and want to eat food. So mine's not really that exciting. It's just out of necessity. I'll often wake up and just slam like a shake of some kind that has like well-balanced, you know, might be like one of those muscle milks or like a little smoothie that I made that's like berries and a protein shake and, you know, different stuff in it like that. It's easily digested. Make sure it has, you know, somewhere between 300 and 400 calories in it. And I can just take it on the go really quick. I'm more of a like wake up kind of slow and drink a couple cups of coffee. And the last thing I actually feel like doing is eating anything, but I know I need to eat something in order to, you know, be ready for the workout. So it's usually a smoothie or shake of some kind. And if I want something a little extra, like a banana, same thing, easy to digest and easy to like jam it in as I'm going. So it's not very exciting if I was like, you know, had a little bit of time and, you know, I really like, you know, a toasted bagel with peanut butter. That's like a yummy go-to, but not as much of a necessity go-to.
I'm even less exciting. For all you listening, it's not going to be fun. Literally one or two of those applesauce pouches. That's often it, especially if it's a swim or a run. And the other go-to is Pop-Tarts, probably not even toasted. And if I'm really hungry, I've been known to eat 3 Pop-Tarts, which is like 1.5 packages. And those are my main go-tos to get me up and rolling into whatever workout is coming next.
Nice. How about you, Jesse? What do you go for?
I'm a really big fan of peanut butter, so I can put peanut butter on basically anything. But I would say, so my go-to would always have peanut butter on it. That's a given. But for something fast, it would be, you know, a cup of coffee and a banana with peanut butter that I'm probably eating out of the jar standing like over the sink or something, just like super fast, just kind of getting in the banana and some peanut butter and, you know, probably a couple of cups of coffee. I'm with Marilyn on that one. And that's of course, like if I'm going to do maybe a workout, that's an hour. If all of a sudden I'm getting ready for like a 5-hour ride or something a little bigger, then I'm going to add a little heft to that. And then I would change up my go-to to a fairly large bowl of oatmeal that I'll throw some protein powder in there and probably like some raisins or honey, and also some peanut butter.
Actually, peanut butter mixed in oats is really delicious.
Peanut butter mixed in anything is really delicious. That's the idea.
If you eat oats without peanut butter, why are you eating them?
They're like the vehicle.
Some people have like honey or, you know.
Well, some people have problems too.
That's basically fair. Like any food that I have is in general a vehicle for peanut butter and honey. So whether it's like toast or rice cake, oatmeal, it's all going to have the same things on it.
Nice.
I have personally seen Jesse eating rice and peanut butter many times at like 4 a.m. where I'm waking up to go to the bathroom and go back to bed. And Jesse is up 3 hours before the workout, just making sure he gets his peanut butter fix.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, we actually have a name for it in this house. It's called Rereal when I'm making my rice cereal. I do a lot of like rice and protein powder and peanut butter and honey. And yeah, it's a pretty good, I mean, it's just a carbohydrate, whatever it is. It could be toast. It's all the same.
You need to try this then. I know we're going off on a bit of a tangent here for the listeners, but my go-to actually every morning before I was a triathlete and I was, you know, show jumper, every morning I'd have toast with peanut butter and a fried egg that was a little bit runny on top. Ugh. and then salt and pepper. Oh my God. So delicious. And people would be like, that sounds disgusting, but it was so good.
I hate to break it to you. I can one up you because I've eaten exactly that with salsa.
Oh, salsa. Too many things. Too many directions. Yeah. No, just salt and pepper. Okay, we better get back on track here.
I have done the oatmeal that's like kind of a sweet oatmeal with the salt and pepper egg on top. So I've done something similar, but anyways. So all right, that was a lot of things we eat before workouts. Looks like we eat a lot. So that's good. That's a good start to our nutrition talk. All right. So just to make sure kind of we're all starting with the same baseline. Elliot is going to run us through a little bit of like a nutrition 101. So buckle your seatbelts, grab your pencil and paper, and let's get our learn on here.
Yeah. So I think the idea is we'll post some of these numbers below the pod. I did take 3 university courses in nutrition, 2 of which were specifically sports nutrition, but that was a long time ago. So I Googled all this stuff to make sure I was still on board. It's a lot of numbers. Again, I'm just running through so you can take a listen. So basically what like nutrition, a macronutrient, micronutrient, people talk about carbohydrates, protein, fat, and oftentimes people forget about alcohol. And then there's things like calcium, vitamin C, iron. Those are micronutrients. So we're basically going to ignore your vitamins and minerals today. That is too much to cover. So macronutrients, carbohydrate, is more or less the baseline of most any human being's diet in terms of most anybody's going to take 50% or more of their calories from carbohydrate. 1 gram of carbohydrate has 4 calories in it. 1 gram of protein has 4 calories in it. 1 gram of alcohol, so when you're drinking that alcohol, it actually has 7 calories in it. And 1 gram of fat has 9 calories in it. So often, when you eat like the same, you eat 1 cup of fat, it would have over twice as many calories as if you had 1 imaginary cup of carbohydrate or protein. So that's one thing to kind of keep in mind. Like if you're purely looking at the mass of something, fat is has a lot more calories. So from there, the calorie burn. So we're doing triathlon. So swim, bike, run. This again, really basic. If you are out on a run and you run 1 mile, whether it's super, super fast or super, super slow, if you're 150 pounds, you tend to burn about 100 calories. It is true if you absolutely sprint that mile versus slowly walk it, you will burn 10, 15 extra calories in an all-out 1 mile sprint versus an easy walk. But generally speaking, 50 pounds is about the break-even point where if you cover 1 mile, that's about 100 calories. So if you cover 10 miles, you've probably burned about 1,000 calories. If you weigh a little less, it's a little less than that. If you weigh a little more, it's a little more than that. For cycling, again, this is for about 150 pound male. If you're going really easy, it's about 400 to 500 calories per hour. If you think about that, if you walked 4 miles in an hour, that's a pretty quick walk, but you're not doing anything too much, which is more or less what an easy bike ride is like. A moderate bike ride where you're pushing a little bit, kind of like a real slow jog, that burns about 600, maybe 650 calories per hour. And then hard cycling, if you look at a lot of the guidelines, they often say like 700 to 900 calories per hour. Some people get confused in this because they see the Tour de France. How do those guys burn equivalent of 2000 calories an hour? Pretty good question. Marilyn just sneezed. Bless you. So how can you burn that much? As you get really, really fit, it is actually possible for you to ride and have a just crazy high calorie output within an hour. So even more than 1,000 calories an hour. But if you think of it similar to your running output, if you're not riding the equivalent of more than 6 minute per mile pace, you're probably not burning more than 1,000 calories per hour. So for most people listening to this, a hard ride is going to take somewhere between 750 to 950 calories per hour. Swimming, if you think about it, similar distance in time, it's basically like a moderate swim is about 400, 600 calories an hour, and a hard swim is 700 to 800 calories an hour, much like as if you ran 7 or 8 miles within an hour. So I just kind of wanted to get that all out of the way so everyone knew, like, okay, you can do the math. I biked this far, I swam this far, I ran this far. This is about how many calories I burned. And now you know what constitutes a calorie when you look at your nutrition packet. And so then, Jesse, you are going to kind of take this into our calories in, calories out, and we'll talk about protein a bit.
Everybody loves talking about protein, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh my God,
it's so hot right now, right? I guess I just want to talk about like energy management throughout the day and like how you kind of balance that out and make sure you have enough fuel on board to make everything happen and not too much. And I feel like, you know, everyone has a great bonk story or some sort of great nutrition fail story that comes to mind when you think about that. And I think like, you know, a great way to do that is like, if you skip breakfast, that's a good way to really offset your nutrition balance so that you're kind of unable to get back to homeostasis the rest of the day. And because of the principle Elliot mentioned, that's like kind of, you have to balance your calories in the food you consume with the calories out and the energy burn, kind of what he was just discussing. So I think it's important to think about that as you approach your day and how you go through that. And I don't know if Marilyn has a good story you want to tell where you've kind of messed that up or you have an athlete who's messed that up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily as much of a story as definitely, you know, all these things are cumulative, and I've seen people and certainly experienced myself where, you know, we talk about getting a little bit behind and you don't even realize it's happening, especially for the really time limited athletes who are really busy and running from one thing to the next. And I forgot to eat breakfast, and then they work out and they grab something really small right afterwards. And then, you know, lunch isn't till 3 o'clock and it's just grabbing a few little things. And before you know it, what happens is like day two or three, when they go to do their harder workout, suddenly they have no gas at all, you know, just completely dead. And they're thinking, man, why am I so dead today? I can't hit any of these numbers. I'm not, you know, I feel terrible. I just feel like, I call it like toilet paper roll legs. And it's a cumulative effect of, you know, 2-3 days of just getting behind on how many calories you need that day to keep up not only your busy lifestyle, but the training as well and the timing of all that food. And, you know, it might not sneak up on you on that particular day. You might get away with it even for 1 or 2 days, but as soon as you go to put a little bit of, you know, length to any session or intensity to any session, all of a sudden you're like, man, I really am feeling empty and I have nothing in the tank. And that's usually when you feel it. That's you end up, certainly had days like that where you ended up at like, God, I remember back in the day, really big training days and got behind and it was like, oh my God, this bottomless pit. And we would end up at like Golden Corral and just eating like everything in sight, like 6 plates later of Golden Corral. And it was like, okay, I think I'm okay now. I think I'm good. And like, you know, those kinds of stories are pretty, pretty funny. You notice it with really time limited athletes that get their, you know, behind on their planning. And maybe when all of a sudden athletes have an increase in training intensity or volume, and they haven't planned ahead for that. And maybe even just recognize that, hey, I'm actually putting out a lot more and they stick to the same routine and they forget they need to increase what they're putting in as their outputs a little bit more.
Yeah. I can remember runs where I'm like stopping at Circle K and just getting like a big gulp of Mountain Dew. Cause I'm like, I doing like a run off the bike where I kind of fell behind. It's like, I'm not going to make it home. I got to sit down on the curb here with this big gulp and get like 500, 600 calories of Mountain Dew in me to make it home. That's that's not a good place. And yeah, it is just like that cumulative effect over time, or even just that one day of going pretty hard and not being careful about kind of constantly being on the edge of refueling everything that you're putting out. I also have seen it gone the other direction, where let's say an athlete's doing like a 1 hour high intensity ride. So even if they're burning 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, let's say they're going crazy for the hour. But then they show up to the ride and they say, okay, I've got my store-bought pre-workout that is 600 calorie pre-workout mix that they're ready to go eat with. And then they get on the bike and they've got their two bottles of 150 calorie drink mix. And then they've got their sleeve of Goos or Chomps that they're going to eat. And then they have their prepackaged 600 calorie post-workout shake. And all of a sudden they've consumed 1500 calories for this 1 hour ride. And all of a sudden their calorie in is much higher than their calorie out. And then they go about their day and have the rest of their meals. They finish that day, maybe they're 500 calories up from that day. And then you do that over time. And, and then say you do that for a week, all of a sudden you're 3,500 calories up and you just gained a pound of fat. And so, in trying to be prepared, it can kind of go the other way too, which kind of goes like kind of what you're saying with those time served people that maybe don't have the time to do that, then it's easier for them to fall off the back, and people that kind of over prepare maybe get in a little bit too many. So really kind of paying attention to that what you're doing and then how much you need to eat to keep things in somewhat of a balance there can be pretty helpful.
I was going to chime in. If you were listening and you were paying attention, Jesse just said 350 calories excess is equal to a pound of fat, which is spot on. That's an exact number. So if you're trying to lose a pound of fat, you have to burn 3,500 calories more than you expend. And likewise, if you take in 500 extra calories a day, you're going to gain a pound a week, and likewise, the opposite. One thing I think is interesting with the energy management when you're really trying to train hard, and I'm sure you guys have both noticed this as well, if you're training really hard, being 500 calories in debt a day is probably exactly what Marilyn was talking about with toilet paper legs.
Was toilet that paper roll, because
I've never heard, I knew
taller
what you meant.
On the inside.
Okay, I'd never heard that term before. I feel like a rookie, but yeah, I understood what you meant. So I think most people don't realize, oftentimes people say, oh, I'm going to lose a pound a week, I'm going to take my time. And if you're training moderately hard to hard in triathlon, by whatever your definition of moderately hard or hard is, 500 calories a day is going to feel massive by day four. And that will lose you a little over half a pound. But what's the effectiveness of your fifth day workout? It's exactly what Marilyn said. You might have some issues, and then you really get into this point where it's, are you trying to get stronger or are you trying to lose weight? And you can lose weight while getting stronger, but the rate at which you do it, I think most of us would agree, is probably maxed out at about half a pound a week. And even that might be pushing it if you're really training hard, and you're going to have fluctuations with water weight, et cetera. But in terms of like pure fat output, I think most of us would agree probably 1 or 2, maybe 300 calories a day is about all you can really afford to be in a deficit when you're training really hard. What's your guys' thoughts on that and experiences?
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. The one thing that I want to make sure that we're careful about with our message is that we're not, for some people it can become a dangerous thing if they get too fixated on counting calories, especially for type A, personalities in endurance sport, which is, what our sport attracts. Sorry, I just had someone that was going to maybe interrupt my train of thought with a phone call there. So that's, I think what you want to do is more look at where are the habits in my daily nutrition that are empty calories. An example I like to use is if you're someone who puts 3 packs of sugar and a cream in your coffee and you drink 4 cups of coffee a day, that's a lot of sort of empty calories. that might be just that, you know, 100 that you're talking about without even having to think about it. So it's like switch to black coffee. Now you're not like obsessed with counting calories, but you've made a lifestyle change where you're going to see that change in your body composition over time. You know, it might be something really simple as if you're, you know, just the little habits that we do every single day are usually the ones that if you're not someone, you're like, no, look, this might be a dangerous pattern for me to be fixated on exact calories in, calories out. You could take the same approach and get the same result by looking at your overall, like, what are my habits and patterns? Keep sort of either a mental log or even if it's an actual nutrition diary and say like, okay, well, I don't need to have 3 Oreo cookies with my, you know, afternoon snack every time. I didn't even know I was doing that. That's a habit. I do that every single time. I can kick that out of there and, you know, replace it with, you know, maybe a rice cracker with a tiny bit of almond butter or something. You know, you get the same sweet treat, but it's a little bit different. Or I kick the, you know, the empty, if you have a soda every day, change it to, you know, water, those kinds of things. So you can look at that stuff and get the same result without it being, you know, becoming an issue for you. So to your original question, yes, I do think that that is the deficit if you're looking for that. But I want to make sure that our message on how to get there isn't fixated on just like one way to get there. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have very rarely in my career counted calories, and very rarely do I recommend that to my athletes. I think that there are a lot of other ways you can go about it. And I think that over time, if you're kind of just focused a little bit on what you eat and you're thinking about it a little bit and training, that you kind of get to that place where you want to be. And I mean, that's not always the case. Sometimes you need to put a little effort in, but I do think that keeping a food log for a week can give you a really clear picture of what you're actually eating. And then you never have to ever do it again. Cause it's kind of tedious, not super fun. And even if you just make a mental record or just do it for a day, then you can really think about it. And to kind of piggyback on what Marilyn was saying, actually, I have a name for that I use. It's called the differential. When you're thinking about the types of foods you're eating kind of by habit that don't actually make a difference to you, or the types of foods that do. And the example I like to use for that, like the sugar and the cream thing, is like, if you have cheese on a sandwich, to me, like, unless it's a melted cheese sandwich, that's different category. But if it's just like a deli sandwich and you throw a big slice of cheese on there, I'm not going to taste it. It's just like a waste. Like, why would I eat that, like, whatever 100 calorie slice of cheese that isn't adding any value to my sandwich? So if I take that out of there and I take that out every day, that's like a little thing that it doesn't hurt me at all mentally, because I don't even taste it when I bite into the sandwich. And it's kind of like helping me, I guess, for lack of a better word, like maybe clean up my diet a little bit. And that can be anything, right? Like, if you really love donuts and you need to have a donut every day and that's your thing, then maybe you keep that, but maybe you look at something else that doesn't make a difference to you mentally that you can get rid of, and you were just doing that by habit. So yeah, I like to think about like the differentiators in your life and the things that are just there and the things that you can totally just check out. And yes, I have a donut habit right now, so we don't really need to talk about that, but
cream filled, right? What kind?
You did have a donut on the ride the other day. I noticed that you're just standing there chowing down on a donut. And I don't think I've ever seen you do that before.
I just said we don't need to talk about that, but that's fine.
You don't. I mean, now is the time, but okay.
I will say the other thing that I don't know what direction you were going to take this, but I'm gonna just bring this up and see what you guys think is, you know, the biggest thing I see for athletes, when we're, you know, when we're 23, 25, we can kind of get away with anything. As we get a little bit older, things change and get away with less and less. I do think the main mistake I see people make as they get older is the timing of what they eat. So you can have that donut on a ride, or you can have it 15 minutes after the ride or 15 minutes before the ride. However, you shouldn't have it on the couch at night at 6 o'clock, right? So it's like, I always say, like, you know, a Coca-Cola or a soda is the best thing ever out on when you're out, you know, training and going really hard, but it's the worst thing ever on the couch. So it's, you know, the timing of food. And I talk a lot with athletes that I coach about that are maybe struggling a bit with, you know, recovery, feeling good, and even keeping their body composition where they want, is we talk about, okay, oh, these are all the things that you eat, and they might even actually have a pretty good diet. You look at what they're consuming and how much, and you think, actually, this looks pretty good. And in particular for some of the, you know, older ladies, they're like, I'm still just, you know, not able to change my body composition. And it's often the timing, you know, if we front end load the day with the carbohydrates and back end load the day with protein and more of your fiber type foods, like, you know, the vegetables and salads and those kinds of things, and all the yummy sugary stuff, you know, you load that around your workouts. So it's good fueling for the workouts. You'll see people, they're like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. So they're just having water out on their session the whole time. And then they come in and then they don't eat for an hour, 'cause they're like, I'm trying to lose weight. And then they eat a whole bunch of sugar, you know, 2-3 hours later, or crack at like 5 o'clock at night and they're eating a pint of ice cream. Like, those are the kinds of habits that really lead to poor recovery, poor performance during your sessions, but then also added weight gain. And especially as we get older, it becomes like a pretty big problem. So I don't know. I mean, Elliot and Jesse, you have, you know, some experience with that as well.
So exactly what you're saying, it's a well-fueled workout. And the reason that makes sense, if you say calories in, calories out, well, why does it matter when you eat the food if you're doing the same workout, but you're eating the food at the different times? And it doesn't, if you don't think about it, it doesn't make sense. But you're right that the timing of your food does make a difference. And the reason why is a better fueled workout. So if you eat more carbohydrate earlier in the day or during your workout's better fueled. And when your workout's better fueled, you can put out more force, whether it's a swim, bike, or run. You can train at a higher intensity with lower effort. You have fuel on board. You're using,
I mean,
it.
Nutrition 101 is you need full, yes, glycogen stores to go hard. I mean, glycogen stores are empty, you're not going hard. You can't.
Yes. So if you're cracked, if somebody's doing like my cycling teammates, we would call it the Paolo Bettini ride, because he apparently used to just ride 6 hours with water, but EPO will do that. But it's exactly what you said. Okay. So you tell that person, well, you drink your Coke. If you want a Coke, drink it at your hour mark of your ride, or your hour and a half mark of your ride. You're going to ride. And we were talking about how many calories you burn during the ride. So if you're out on a moderate ride, you might not realize this. You might end up burning 700 calories during the ride instead of 630 because you drink the Coke. Now, if you drink the Coke later in the day, you still took in those calories, but you burned 70 less calories. So not only is your ride a better effort, you also burn more calories doing it, eating the exact same food. And it's so that's like the basic explanation, I guess, from a science perspective of why what Jesse said earlier in the podcast and what Marilyn just said seem to be diametrically opposed, but they work together. You need to have those calories, and carbohydrate is the easiest thing to burn during a workout. And it's often, like I was talking about my applesauce, but I mean, all you guys, your food before the workout was carbohydrate based with a little bit of protein and a little bit of fat, but it was never, you know, none of you said you were just eating spoonfuls of mayonnaise with a side of peanut butter. You know, there was always mostly carbohydrate. And that's how you stay well fueled. And that's really important.
And then, and I do think, I mean, I would like to hear thoughts on the, you know, later in the day, you know, primarily recovery is what we're after, and having those meals that are, you know, high protein based, that's where you're having, you know, whether you're vegetarian or not, but high protein base is, you know, from that dinner time type window, like later afternoon, dinner time window, the training's all done. Even some people who are maybe a little bit smaller athletes and they're trying to gain muscle, you can suggest like a type of protein shake right before bed, and that's going to help them. And then that's when you have your high fiber foods, you know, leafy vegetables and, you know, salads and stir fries and all those things that are on the lower carbohydrate end of things, because now you're settling in for the night and you know, needing more muscle repair and all of those things. And we don't need the carbohydrates anymore at that point in the day.
Can I just jump back on the workout carbohydrate train? I'm, first of all, a huge fan of carbohydrates while I'm working out. I think it's a great option. I am a fan of donuts on ride stops and gummy worms mid-ride. But point of that is, I think that your body is also more ready to absorb the carbohydrate right before, during, and right after workouts. So not only can you potentially go harder during the workouts is that your body is going to metabolize the carbohydrate more appropriately and put it in the right spots. Whereas if you drink that Coke later on in the day, it might just turn that carbohydrate into fat. But if you're drinking that Coke during your workout, your body is like primed to throw that carbohydrate straight into your glycogen stores, or at least have it like on deck and ready to do that. So, and you know,
pumping Elliot, through your blood and then you use it.
So yeah, you're getting ready to use it right then. So it's not only is it like better to help you fuel the workout, your body is just more ready to handle that carbohydrate source at the time. I forgot what I was going to say next because I forgot what Marilyn said after me. Marilyn, what'd you just say?
I just think like as we're talking about day-to-day nutrition and people are looking at, you know, someone might be, you know, they're saying, okay, well, I do limit all of these things and I eat a really clean, healthy diet and I choose the right foods and all of those things. And that's where I have, you know, for some of the older athletes that are struggling with that and they think, okay, I've looked at all the empty calories, you know, I'm not drinking alcohol. I don't put sugar in my coffee. I eat lots of, you know, I limit what kind of the junk that I put in and I eat pretty well, but, you know, that's when I say to them, okay, we really, really need to look at the timing of things. And I think when you start to map that out, there's also, I think with busy lifestyles for a lot of athletes, you know, they've got busy work lives and family and stuff. They have long gaps of time in between eating, and that can become an issue. So not only for sustained energy throughout the day and having the energy for like if you do an early morning workout and then you work all day and then you tend to your kids and then you still got to do an evening workout at some point, you know, if you're eating once every 2 or 3 hours all day, you've got a really steady energy level all day long and you're able to stick to, you know, choosing healthy things, having the energy for that, you know, second session, that kind of thing. If you're one of these people, like you eat breakfast, you have that, you do your workout, maybe you even have a good post-recovery, you know, protein shake or something like that. And then it's like 6 hours goes by and you realize, well, I haven't really eaten anything. I'm going to try and cram in a gel and finish my next workout and then have dinner. Like these are the types of habits and patterns that I think for the really busy folk are holding them back, not only from performance and recovery, but, you know, all the things that we're talking about, getting caught in a deficit, not being able to perform, maybe, you know, the body composition's affected, all of those things. So, you know, making sure not only what you eat when, so the timing of proteins and fats and throughout the day and around your workouts, but making sure you eat consistently and regularly through the day. I'm terrible at it. I got to be honest. Like I am one of those people, like all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit, it's been like, you know, 5-6 hours and I haven't eaten anything and I'm scrambling and I'm starving and it's like, why am I so tired? But if I set like a little alarm and say like, okay, once every 2-3 hours, I've got to have something like a cup of cottage cheese and a chopped apple. And then 2 hours later, you know, have something else like a handful of pretzels and a string cheese and, you know, something like that. Then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wow, I have pretty good energy at the end of the day and I'm not starving at dinner time. So
this is great advice for somebody who's working out one really big workout a day or two workouts a day, but pretty terrible advice if you're not working out every day, because then you're just right. So we need to just so you like, because there's going to be somebody who's listening to this and maybe they work out 5 or 6 times a week, and you can certainly do a triathlon working out 5 or 6 times a week. And there's nothing the matter with that. But a lot of the advice Marilyn just said is more to someone who's working out regularly.
Exactly.
You need that. So like you did your morning workout, you burned a bunch of fuel, then you have to refuel and then you have to keep fueling so that then your second workout goes well. And then you eat another meal, but your total calorie burn throughout the day, as we're talking about, if you're training 2 hours a day, it's often like 1500 calories on top of your BMR, which is your basal metabolic rate, which is just like what you'd burn if you're just sitting there. So for a lot of people, they might consider that they might compare themselves to their buddy who works out 12 times a week and they work out 5 times a week. And if you don't sit down and do the math, you quickly realize, oh, if you eat like the person who trains twice a day, always, you're not going to end up super extra perfectly fueled. You're just going to end up a little bit chubby. And like prime example is myself right now. Like I've had multiple injuries and like I eat like I, you know, I used to think a single one workout a day was an easy day. And now if I do one real workout in a day, it's like makes me tired. I mostly just walk these days. But the point is, I still eat like I used to. And guess what? I gained 5 pounds. It's bound to happen, you know? So
I wanted to just circle back to some of the snacks that Marilyn mentioned. And they all seem to have like a carbohydrate and some sort of protein, maybe a little bit of fat in there too, but they were like small, like ways to get well-balanced snacks in. And I think that's something that a buddy that I used to train with all the time told me, is that like never have a carbohydrate without a protein or a fat when you're not training. Like when I am training, you can do straight sugar, that's fine. But when you're not, say, on the bike, trying to keep that mixed, I think is good advice. Elliot, looks like you might want to contradict me. I don't know.
No. I think that's perfect advice. Right. Yeah. You're saying cool. If you're training, it's okay to do straight sugar or straight carbohydrate with very small amounts of protein and fat. And if you're not training, if you're eating something that's just carbohydrate, whether it's a Coke or it's a handful of gummy worms, like unless you just finished the workout, it's probably not a great idea.
Yeah. So if you're going to have,
it might be delicious. You know, but but it's not going to help you long term. And I know another thing we wanted to talk about is like, how do you moderate those various things? Because it's not the end of the world if you do have a handful of gummy worms once or twice a week, right? And like, what are your thoughts on like moderation and just abstaining from various foods, etc.?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, for a lot of people, food is also a source of socializing and enjoyment and, you know, just part of life. And you definitely don't want to take that piece away. There might be a focus period of time where you say, okay, I'm within, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of my main race. I'm going to really, really focus and cut things out, or, you know, be extra careful about things. But I think balance is good. I mean, we do this sport to have a great lifestyle. And, you know, so I think for most people, if you can continue to have, like, now if you're having a pint of ice cream every single night, that's probably something you need to check in with. But, you know, if you moderate and say, oh, I'm going to have an ice cream once a week, I think, you know, it's healthy balance. And I certainly encourage people to still look at the things that they really like and enjoy. And if they're on the heavier end, I say, okay, well, if you're someone who likes to have pizza once a week, let's do it on your big workout day. So like, if you've got a big, huge brick or your big long run on Sunday, or, you know, you do a 5-hour ride on Saturday, those are the days to say like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and have, you know, I'm going to have those extra yummy things because I know I'm either going to burn it off the next day, or I did something really big that day and it requires it. You probably don't want to eat an entire pizza and a pint of ice cream on your rest day. You know, if you're not doing much that day, then knuckle it down a little bit. So balancing in some some things that you like to keep enjoyment in, and but doing it on the right days, you know, and around the right workouts, I think you can balance that really nicely together and not feel like you're depriving yourself and living too much like a monk the whole time.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, eating should mostly be like an enjoyable, pleasurable experience, and you should want to like maintain that. You don't want to like lose contact with that. It is a fun social thing that we do, and it can be a happy part of your life, even if you're like working towards a goal that may involve, like, I don't like to use the term race weight, but for lack of a better word, race weight, or kind of how you want to feel when you're getting ready for a race. That said, I myself am extremely bad at moderation with a lot of things. I'm kind of a go to the extreme kind of person in, you know, training and some of my eating habits. Like, I have a pretty large soft spot for baked goods if they're around, kind of maybe that rolls into my donut fetish. So if there are a bunch of baked goods around the house, I will eat all of them. And I have a lot of trouble like regulating that. So for me, there are some foods where it's like probably best for me to just abstain from at least having them in the house. Once in a while, if I go out, yeah, I might get some sort of pastry, or I might bring a pastry home. But when I go to the grocery store, I no longer buy bags of cookies.
I'm definitely like that with chips.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
if there's
so
any chips, like nacho chips, potato chips. I'm like, I'm not eating like, you know, those people who can have like a little bit of the bag and then crinkle it up and put it in the cupboard.
Yeah. That's, put a clip that, on it. Yeah. No yeah, way.
No, that's what? Definitely, that's just definitely not me. It's like, if I have a bag of chips like that, that the whole thing's going down. So it's like, buy a smaller bag.
Yeah. Amy's like that too. If I buy chips, like I'm not a huge chip person, so I can eat a few of them, but they will disappear. I'm like, what? Where are my salt vinegars, man? She'll eat them all. And, you know, she'll ask me where all the cookies went. But so, yeah. I think for some things, for me, it's better to abstain. I'm not the best at moderation with some things. And I think it's good to know, like, maybe that's okay. Maybe it's okay to totally abstain from some things and just say, yeah, I don't eat pastries. Or maybe that's for a short amount of time. And then other things I can say, yeah, I'm going to have a few squares of chocolate because it doesn't, I'm not always going to eat the entire pound plus, Elliot. I'm only going to eat a square or two.
That is, that is my advice. The pound plus Belgian chocolate from Trader Joe's. And I am about to move next door to a Trader Joe's.
Oh, you're doomed, man.
I am going to live very well. I think that's perfect. Like if you're not enjoying what you eat, there's a problem, right? And we're not telling people to not enjoy what they eat. You need to eat nutritious, healthy food that you also enjoy. And everyone kind of enjoys something a little bit different. And we also need to know, like, okay, most of us enjoy a handful of things that maybe are less nutrition dense, right? They have less vitamins and minerals and more fat and sugar than we need. We can all eat those things, but one, like Marilyn said, it's the timing, and two, just how much of it are we doing and how easily can we space it out without feeling like a pang of missing out? And I think it's that missing out that we need to try to avoid. So if there's something you just really are not going to be able to handle, then you just need to include that in your diet and work around it. And then the things that you can do without, maybe you just cut them out, you know? So like for me, I like drinking a beer and a cider now and then, but I'm not really that into it. So one of the things that for the longest time when I was training, I just never drank, not because I have anything against drinking, but it was just extra calories I didn't need, just the same way as I can't go without iced tea or sweet tea, if I'm being like, tea with a bunch of sugar in it. Like it's delicious. I love it. And I get upset if I don't have it. Right. But I can go without the alcohol. So it's like, which one of the sugar drinks are you going to give up? I'm going to give up the one that I'm not going to throw a fit if I don't have it. And yes, that means I'll throw a fit if I don't get enough sweet tea. So
are you from the South secretly? What's going on?
When you say sweet tea, is it like that Nestle, you know, in Canada, we have the Nestle. Like
no, I had a roommate from South Carolina and he spent a bunch of time and he like made a batch of sweet tea and I literally drank like 2 days of work of sweet tea in one sitting post 5 hour ride. And he was like, where'd all my sweet tea go? And he was like, it took me 2 days to make that. And I literally drank it in one sitting. I'm a bad friend and roommate. but yeah, it's something I've ever since it's a main line. I need to have it in moderation.
So just to curb that, we've talked a lot about foods that we probably should eat in moderation, like my donuts and Elliot's sweet tea. You guys want to run through maybe some go-tos for healthy foods? We kind of did pre-ride earlier or pre-workout earlier. You want to run through, let's say you just did a big session, whether it was a 5 hour ride or like 2 hour run, I don't know, something long where you're like, yeah, I need to jam on some calories right now. What would be your go-to, Elliot? Do you have a?
Oh yeah, kind of a... I think you've seen me make it. It's Elliot's post-workout smoothie.
It even has a name. Oh wow. Okay.
Erica, my girlfriend, calls it my shake because she thinks it's more akin to an ice cream shake. But I swear it's healthy. I'm gonna lay it out for you. It has the stock of it all is mixed berries of whatever kind and maybe some other frozen fruit, and that's most of it. And then I'm going to add in a little bit of milk, not very much, a bit of orange juice, sometimes water, peanut butter, Jesse, because I know you love peanut butter.
Yes.
And then I add in
whatever. You actually taste peanut butter in a shake like that?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. You need to put more in there.
I was going to say, how much is in there?
So that's the thing. So like quite a bit of peanut butter, because if you mix like peanut butter and milk, and then you also have some protein powder, you're going to get all your essential amino acids. And like, I actually did think this out. So like, there's a ton of carbohydrate, right? The fruit has a fair amount of carbohydrate, but it's not that much. And that the orange juice is more or less straight sugar. I do add in some chocolate syrup, which is what I get made fun of for. And sometimes I add yogurt, sometimes I don't. But if you have a regular yogurt, there is carbohydrate in there quite a bit. There's also more protein and fat in there. So it's super filling. It's a fair amount of calories, but it's not like an insane amount. And it really fills you up post-ride or whatever, post-big run, big swim. And it more or less hits all your macronutrient needs from a protein, fat, carbohydrate level.
Wow.
Nice.
I definitely, if I've done a really, really big session, I definitely want to like eat something. I don't want to drink something. I know some people, they come in and they're like, oh, my stomach's not that good. And so they reach for that kind of stuff. And I do like smoothies here in the Arizona summer when it's really hot, I'll come in and make something like that. But if I've done something really big, I definitely want like real food. And so this will sound funny too. Now that I'm having this conversation, I realize I eat some kind of weird foods. I like just like white rice with olive oil, salt and pepper. And again, like two fried eggs on it where the yolk is runny, and then mix all that up. I love that. Actually, when I was bike racing,
is your big post-workout dig in.
Yeah. I love white rice. Like I gotta admit, I'm kind of boring that way. I mean, I do like really crazy foods, like yummy foods too, but some of my absolute favorite foods are pretty boring. Like white rice with olive oil, salt and pepper, and two eggs on top. I absolutely love that. When I was bike racing, that was my go-to. It was like, as the stages went on, let's say I was in a 5-day stage race, by day three of going that hard and racing that many days in a row, your stomach kind of shuts down the same way it does later in an Ironman. But I could always eat rice and eggs, salt and pepper, olive oil. And I thought, God, when I'm done doing these kinds of races, I'm never going to want to eat this again. But I still love it. Like, it's like literally my favorite meal. If you said to me, like, what can you make to eat? I love that. So that's a real go-to for me. In fact, I have to be careful how much I eat of that, because I find if I eat too much white rice, that's when I all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm getting kind of porky. I need to cut out some of the rice.
Isn't that the classic, like, post bike? A lot of my bike racer friends do the same thing, whether it's oats and rice or oats and eggs or rice and eggs. It always seems to be that combination. It might just be because it's easy and quick, right? You pop it in the rice cooker, you fry up a couple eggs, and you're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. And I think actually, if you are someone who has a little bit of stomach trouble at any point when you are training hard, it's pretty easy to digest. And you know, getting a little bit of salt in there as well is good, and it kind of covers all those bases that you're talking about. You know, white rice is pretty high glycemic carbohydrate for immediate recovery. And then you've got the fats and the proteins in there, a little bit of, you know, like I say, olive oil and salt, and you're sort of covered. So if you like that kind of thing, fortunately, I just find that like actually pretty delicious. So, so that's my kind of go-to.
Yeah. From a macro standpoint, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So I would always love there to be someone just making burritos at my house all day long, but that's not, right? That's not a thing. So I actually am very, very similar to Marilyn in that we always have like either rice or quinoa around in some sort of Tupperware. So it's super easy for me to just fry up a couple of eggs and then microwave some rice and some spinach and maybe some beans and then throw some eggs on top. And so that's actually, yeah, my go-to is super similar. I feel like I eat a ton of sugar while I'm training in general, especially if it's a ride. So yeah. I'm usually not like craving something sugary. So something savory, like a rice bowl with eggs. And I do like to throw some veggies in there. It makes me feel a little better about myself. I don't know if a handful of spinach does much, but yeah, I'll do that quite often. And sometimes if it's a big workout and I'm like kind of hot and need a minute, I will grab like one of those prefabricated, like I'm sponsored by a company called F2C, and they have a product called Rehab that is just, you know, some carbohydrate and protein that you throw in some water or some milk and drink it as like a shake. And I'll do that kind of first while I'm taking off my kit and making sure, maybe taking a shower if things are getting crazy. And then I'll fry up the eggs. So if there's going to be some lag time, I'll drink the drink before I get to frying the eggs. If we have burrito shells though, or, you know, tortillas, then I would definitely take whatever I'm making and throw it in a tortilla. Anything.
You can throw anything. Anything.
So do you love burritos or tortillas?
Well, okay. I love tortillas, but you can put it's all. Well, just because you have to fold the burrito. And if you just throw it in the tortilla, you can kind of just wrap it and shove it in.
So you would eat Marilyn's meal wrapped in a tortilla. Would you eat my shake wrapped in a tortilla?
Yeah.
If it was thick enough. Yeah, I do. I do. Whoa. I do peanut butter, banana, honey tortillas. That counts.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, that actually, I've had that before. That's good.
Yeah. And I've seen you eat that. That's not made up. I've seen you eat that.
And the tortillas here, I mean, you have to say, like, you're in Arizona. So like the fresh tortillas here, I mean, they're worth it. Like that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. This is not something that was like packaged and
yeah,
flown in a plane. This is like some person down the street was like hand patting them out. So yeah, they're legit.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, and again, I think what we all chatted about there is like a fair amount of carbohydrate and then a good amount of protein and a little bit of fat. And that's kind of a good way to end a workout.
Yeah, end your post-workout.
And then, yeah, I think one thing that like Marilyn touched on earlier, but I wanted to circle back to is that we're kind of looking at this as that most people are working out in the morning. So they're having something small pre-workout and then bigger kind of post-workout and then going out about the rest of their day. And maybe they're doing an evening workout, but that's kind of why Marilyn was saying pushing back some of those more fibrous foods, those fruits and veggies to later in the day, assuming the hard workout or maybe the only workout is done. And you don't need to like have that ready to go stomach for an evening workout. If that's flipped on its head, then maybe you do want to front load with fruits and vegetables and have, you know, an omelet with a bunch of veggies in there for breakfast and then get more carb focused as your day goes on. So kind of making that individualized to where you work out is important too.
I will say that if you are trying to work on body composition though, to try and avoid, you know, eating, if you can, I know it's not possible for some people's schedules, but you know, you really don't want to be having like a great big high carbohydrate dinner at, you know, 9 o'clock at night too often. Now I understand that for some people, that's just not really an option with their life and their work, but it's something to look at if, you know, if there's some way in your life to make sure that you're eating those really big meals, you know, try and have them all in and done before, you know, 7 p.m. at the latest, if you can. That's going to help you as well. You know, really late night eating big meals and then heading to bed. You know, if that's an issue, maybe you look at having like a really big lunch and then something medium sort of mid afternoon. And then, you know, you're avoiding those kinds of things because they really do make a difference. You know, if you're doing that every single day, if you're having a 9 p.m. huge dinner every single night, before you know it, you know, you might even be eating things that are healthy for you, but before you know it, it's just like, you're not feeling that well, you're not sleeping as well, you know, you are stacking on a couple extra pounds, those kinds of things. And, you know, it adds up. It's always over time that these things add up.
And I just, you guys are in Arizona and wake up way earlier than some people elsewhere, myself. And so like, I think
you don't when get up you at say, 5 every day, 4:30 every day.
Oh, geez, Louise. No. But so what you really mean is the amount of time between dinner and when you go to bed. So if you eat dinner at 9 and you go to bed at 10:30, that's only like an hour, hour and a half to digest.
Yeah.
If there's 3 hours in between that, that's probably good. If there's 4 hours, probably even better. And that's kind of the real idea that you're getting at, right? Because if you go to bed at 7 p.m., eating dinner at 6 p.m. is also not great.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right.
So, but just to clear that up, but that was the idea you're getting at. So we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
And the thought process behind that is if you kind of go to bed with a full stomach, then how you digest the food changes, and like what happens to it. If you're no longer moving and your heart rate drops to 40 and you're just lying there, then the digestion is going to happen. It's going to just store everything as fat. It's like, I don't need this fuel right now. Right. And then
it's actually, you don't sleep as well because you are digesting. So you try to go to sleep, your heart rate doesn't drop as much. You're not getting as restful of a sleep because your body's not done digesting. So the food, where it goes, shouldn't change too much, but your quality of sleep, which is really, really important, may change. And that's where Marilyn said, like, you stop sleeping as well, and then you don't recover as well. So then you're the next day, you wake up a little less refreshed, and you might not have as much energy for your workout. And that's the same thing as being well-fueled for a workout. You might not burn as many calories at the exact same effort. So that's one thing to keep in mind as well.
So. Gotcha. Cool. Thank you for clarifying that. Do you guys want to add any takeaways before we wrap this up? Anything you want to let the world know?
I think, go ahead, Nellie.
Well, I just have one, making fun of people at the gym comment. If you guys haven't caught on, I'm the jerk of the three of us. So if your body can absorb more than like 20 grams of protein in a pop, so a lot of these like protein bars and shakes are 40, 50, 60 grams of protein.
60?
Yeah, that's way too much. But like, the point is, your body can really only absorb and synthesize and put the protein to use for an average size person about 20 grams of protein per meal, maybe 25. So you don't really need a 40 grams of protein in one pop. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So it's more about consistent protein. And what you said earlier, Jesse, if you're having a snack and you're not training, make sure that snack is a bit of carbohydrate, protein, and fat, you know, and just there's a little bit of all three and you're going to be good to go. It doesn't have to be any perfect ratio, but if there's something with some protein and fat, you're going to be good. If it's all mostly protein and fat, you're still going to be pretty good. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's about frequency.
I was just going to, yeah, right. I was just going to add that, you know, for me in particular, I'm not a registered dietitian, and, you know, all of the advice that I give with this stuff is just based on experience and things that I've, you know, noticed with athletes over time and experimented with myself over time. If you're someone, you know, if you're just sort of taking a broad early beginnings look at your nutrition and making changes and that kind of stuff, we can have these conversations. But then I think what I do for a lot of my athletes is if we really want to dial into the specifics and get it just nailed down perfectly for a person, I say, let's start with a body composition test, maybe even go as detailed as get a resting metabolic test and find out how much you burn per day, just as resting. Once you have those actual facts and numbers, then we actually bring on board. I work with a number of registered dietitians that I trust and personal friends with, and I know that they have a great track record and they're athletes themselves. And, you know, I'm the coach to facilitate, like, these are the relationships that I have, and this person's an expert in this area. I have knowledge up to this point. We've worked with these things. We want to dial it in even further. So then we bring like another party on board and say, like, this person's an expert in this. We've got the actual facts and numbers specifically for you as a person. And then they can go ahead and do their job and lay out an exact nutrition plan and work it around a person's training. And we work it right into their Training Peaks plan. Like, hey, this is what their training block looks like right now. This is what they need to eat. So if you're really, you know, you can take all of this advice that we're giving and get a good start and start to get a really good feel for where you're at. Having a, you know, a nutrition log is, like Jesse said, for a week, it's kind of tedious, but you could probably find out a lot of information about yourself. And then if you really, really want to dial it in, don't be afraid to talk to your coach, or if you're self-coached, you know, reach out to a real respected registered dietitian and get the numbers exact. And so, you know, that's where you're going to get your most bang for your buck with this stuff.
Yeah. I want to add that not only Marilyn, but none of us are registered dietitians. So everything we're saying is our opinion.
Very true.
I do want to wrap it up with one more thing. Sorry to keep circling this down. But one thing we alluded to a lot, but we never actually mentioned, is I think that like the cornerstone of any good diet outside of training is eating real food, trying to stay away from processed food. And we talked about all the foods you mentioned, which were not very processed, but I don't know if we ever actually said that. So that, I think that's a really important thing to think about. Fruits and vegetables, trying to get some of those in, and then trying to get in like whole grains, like we mentioned, rice quite a few times, oatmeal, things like that are much, I mean, I know I have a burrito and donut thing, don't hate me for that, but those are kind of processed and I should stay further away from them, especially when I'm not training as much, and trying to get more towards things like potatoes and less burritos in my life.
Shop on the outside of the grocery store.
Yeah, totally.
That should have been the whole podcast. Shop on the outside of the grocery store. You're gonna
limited time up and down the aisles. Shop on the outsides.
Do not ever go down the chip and cookie aisle if you're serious.
Oh my god! And don't go to the store hungry.
Yes, and don't. We're just hitting all of the.
Here we go. Just banging out the summary right here. Boom, boom, boom. Bullet points. It's also not advised to take your 2.5-year-old shopping because she likes to run up and down the aisles and throw random things in your cart, and you'll find out till later. You end up with some real gems when you get home.
Nice.
Anyways, thank you guys for spending an hour with me. It was fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, you. Marilyn. Always fun.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Cheers.
See ya. Bye.